tape projection.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing today?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good, man. Pretty good. Happy belated Father's Day, sir.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank
first
you.
One.
First one. Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. Made it to the first one. Let's see, folks. What happened in? Looking at my notes here, we'll start with the NBA Finals. Finished last week. Denver was the easy winner, as we kind of thought they would be after knowing the matchup. Ran through them. Miami just kind of ran out of energy there, I think. Ran out of that Miami magic. Jokic was happy to, you know, get the win for his team and then get off and go back to his horses. Man really treats being an NBA star like his side job.
Right.
You gotta love it though.
Now that I'm done with that, on to the important stuff.
Yeah, right. You know, like him asking like, when's the parade? Oh, I don't know if I'll make it in time back for the races. Like
I'm busy.
Yeah, right. But he seemed to have fun at that parade though. So I guess our two questions coming out of the finals for these two teams is Denver a looming dynasty, or did they benefit from maybe a weaker playoff field or whatever? And then do we think Miami will be back, or is this some sort of magic run?
Well, as far as Denver, I mean, I think Denver's going to be a legit contender for a while. They keep that core together, keep those pieces around. And that's the hard part because, you know, people hear how good they are. They're going to want more money. They're going to get offers. So, as you see with other teams, it's hard to keep everybody intact. But if they can keep everybody, for the most part, happy and intact, and they genuinely seem to like each other, you know, it's not just on the court, you know. They genuinely seem to be a pretty tight team there. So I think they're on the verge of something special if they can keep it all together, stay healthy. So
yeah, I tend to agree. That's a good core there. Your two big guys are Jokic and Murray, and then, you know, their supporting cast is just so great. And if they can keep them around, you know, we'll see with this new CBA stuff coming in within the next couple of years.
Right.
But that's also, you know, a place where guys might take a little less so they can go play with a guy like, you know, Jokic. So they can play with a franchise. You know, they're well coached. They seem to have great chemistry as a team. Those Denver fans do get into it, especially when they have a team to root for. You know, I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think that's a kind of, they're going to be there in the conversation for a good few years to come.
I really think so. Because you look around the league and you see the other teams. I mean, there's other, you know, there's nobody that you're like, oh, man, they're going to be this much better. You know, you look at, and we'll talk about it some, you know, with the additions, even what Phoenix made compared to where the other teams are. That are also considered, you know, top Western Conference teams, especially, you know, I think Denver's in a very good spot.
Yeah, for real. It's going to be a tough conference, but they're such a well-oiled machine, you know.
Right.
As for Miami, they might have to maybe add some parts, you know, shuffle around, but I tend to think they'll be in that conversation in the East, too. East isn't as tough a conference.
No.
And they're just such – we talked about it multiple times, but that organization is just so well-run.
Yeah.
That they're always going to be in conversation.
Exactly. Well-run organization. And, you know, it's not like – I mean, they took Boston to 7 last year. And so, I mean, they were right on the verge of it last year as well. You know, making a finals run. So definitely I think that they need to add another part, just because if you look at that roster outside of course, playoff Jimmy and Bam Adebayo, I mean, a lot of those guys, you're like, man, should they be starting in the NBA, you know? Some of those pieces they had going in the finals. Of course, some of it, you know, if they could get Tyler Hero back and if he could ever stay healthy. And then, of course, there's all that talk about, you know, possibly bringing Dame in. but I don't know what they'd have to give up in order to make that happen or if that would work. But, you know, they're a smart organization. They're well run. And then, you know, they're not going to fall off hard, I don't think, for sure. They'll be in that top three or four teams kind of they weren't as good during the regular season as they've been in past seasons, but, you know, I think they'll be in that conversation this year with the likes of, course, you know, the Bucks, the Celtics, you know, that 76ers, that type of teams that we've come accustomed to being in the top three or four in the Eastern Conference there.
Yeah. Yeah, they showed that they're not afraid of anybody. No. So, you know, getting another star, you mentioned Dame. Yeah, getting another star on that team, I think, would be huge for them. Someone to take that load off, Jimmy, and, you know, just kind of help them, you know, when they go into these slugfests that they had against, like, Boston, you know, that they can survive it for the next round.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's it's a good place to go. You mentioned Dame and maybe him moving this year. NBA draft just happened this past Thursday. Despite all the rumors and big talk that Zion might get traded, we might have a big trade at number two or three. None of that.
None of that happened.
Brandon Miller, Alabama boy, went number two to Charlotte. That was apparently their plan all along. Scoot does go number three to Portland. So you do wonder now, do they try to flip him and get Dame somebody, or are they maybe, is it time to move on from Dame, or is Dame ready to move on finally and go somewhere where he can try to win a title? Portland can try to rebuild around a young nucleus.
Exactly.
Because, you know, Scoot and Dame are kind of the same, except, you know, Dame's a much better shooter, obviously.
Right. But yeah,
you don't need all those small guards you got on that team. So you figure before the summer's over, something's going to happen in Portland. Somebody's going to get moved. Yeah.
I would assume more than likely it's going to be Dame, just because why would you draft a new guy just to move him? But
yeah, exactly. So then, that, you know, no surprises in that top three. The rest of the, you know, Cam Whitmore was the big kind of surprise in the first round, slid down to number 20. Or Houston got him, and he was projected to them at four in a lot of mocks anyway. So that's a good value for them if his health problems, if those rumors aren't really that bad, you know, they could have been overblown.
And that's a team, they're young. They have a lot of young talent in Houston. If they can get it together, and I think they got a good coach down there. I would say
they got the coach to do it now. If he can shape them up, man, that's, like you said, so much young talent there.
Sure. They could be interesting to watch in the next couple of years, for sure.
Yeah, it might be a fun team. Yeah, the check out on, you know, random national games if they get some spotlight.
Yeah.
Of course, the big things happened this week. Bradley Beal traded to the Suns for Chris Paul, and then Chris Paul goes out to Golden State. What? There's some other stuff too. You know, that big three-teamer, you know, Kristaps Porzingis is now in Boston. Marcus Smart is in Memphis. Tyus Jones in Washington. Some picks and stuff with all that. But the big ones, we'll start, I guess, chronologically. Beal to the Suns. You know, he's a great player, a good player maybe. He can score. His numbers did slide the past couple of years, but you wonder if that maybe just not caring, you know, Washington had nothing going for him.
Being in Washington, yeah.
But I saw that, and I just kind of don't.
I don't know what it does.
I get it. You're trying to get, you know, you get good players, and if he's the best available, then you try to get him. But you have Devin Booker, KD, and Bradley Beal there. They kind of all do the same thing.
Right.
All
kind of ball dominant guys.
Mm-hmm.
All going to want to get their shots. I mean, they're all three great offensive players. I mean, if they could gel, I mean, it'd be fun to watch. But, you know, where's the bench? you know, there's so many questions. And what else is in Phoenix? You know, where's the bench at? You know, are they good? Is Aiden good in Phoenix now? Like,
that's another thing. Yeah, is he gone before the end of the summer too? Kind of like Dame in Portland. Like, is Ayton long to stay there?
Yeah, because that talk is kind of falling off. I don't know, just because where we're at in the summer and that's going to pick up as we enter into free agency, or if, you know, if a bigger issue is with him and the coach, last year. And, I'm not sure what that situation is right now. But
yeah, that's
heard
that's
too much about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting there. You mentioned last year, you know, he didn't like Monty Williams. They didn't get along, apparently, but now Monty's gone. So does that make him happy? But he's also, you know, he saw his kind of usage rate fall last year, especially after KD coming in. I mean, it's going to fall even more now.
Right.
And then from, you know, mentioning, you know, from a salary cap standpoint, like they got a lot of big contracts on that team. They need
contracts.
Get some, you know, depth there. So
right.
You would think that maybe Ayton's gone to bring in a few more players. Or at least create some
definitely
space.
Need some depth. They definitely need depth and bench players, because as we all know, I mean, you can have a good starting five, but if someone gets hurt or tired or foul trouble, you know, then you're sunk, right? Real quick in the playoffs.
Real quick. So we mentioned the part of that, you know, Chris Paul, you know, was a Washington Wizard for about a day. Now he's a Golden State Warrior. So that's the weird one, man. That's another weird one. So now you got Chris Paul.
Get it? Because I think that the long-term goal was to move Jordan Poole, because they don't want to, you know, that whole situation last year with their little tussle in the preseason with him. And then, his disappearance in the playoffs and the Warriors just didn't seem to be themselves at all last year after they kind of, Draymond didn't seem to be himself a lot of the season. They just seemed to be a different team. And, you know, maybe that's their move to try to get back to what they were in previous seasons.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know, Chris Paul definitely gives you that kind of leadership role, and he's going to, you know, handle the ball and let, you know, maybe that frees up Steph and Clay to run around and run defenses ragged. Yeah, exactly. Like they used to, you know, just that ridiculous running without the ball.
Right. Because he doesn't really have to score a lot in Golden State. He just, you know, distributes and runs offense. No. And we know he's a good leader. So maybe that's what they were looking for with him. But, you know, same time, don't know how healthy he's going to be. Do you not play him much in the regular season and, you know, save him for the playoffs? Because that's where you're going to need him more than anything. It's just as Phoenix kind of needed him in his past last year, and, you know, he was hurt. So be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. You would imagine a lot of load management and stuff between all three of them, really. You know, him, Steph, and Clay. Draymond opted out of his player option, but I think the word is that he's just going to resign for a cheaper deal.
Right.
Team friendly, maybe.
That's one guy you can. I couldn't really see him being anywhere else. I just don't think, you know, he'd be happy and just be weird. Because no matter what, you know, he just fits where he's at in that Golden State culture with, you know, Clay and Steph. That's kind of their thing. And, I just don't see him being anywhere near what he's been at times anywhere else. That's just me.
No, yeah. He's so, specific to that that squad and that franchise.
Exactly.
Going the other way, of course, was you mentioned Jordan Poole. I figure in Washington and, you know, them getting rid of Beal and Porzingis, seems like maybe they're going into rebuild mode themselves.
Yeah, save a lot of money.
So I figure Poole, save a lot of money. They'll have that big contract with Poole, but it's the only one.
All right.
So you figure either maybe he plays a season some and gets traded again for some picks, or maybe he just is their guy that scores 30-some a night for him. Let him get his stats. While, you know, the young guys kind of grow into the game.
Yeah, I kind of seeing that being the case, kind of him getting his 25, 30 points and probably a lot of meaningless points. But same time, it helps the young guys, and in long term may help him get somewhere else as well. If someone's impressed with what he can do with his numbers when he's considered the top guy. So.
Yeah. Let's see, going else. Kyle Kuzma, speaking of Wizards, he opted out as well. So he'll be a free agent. kind of all over the place on rumors of where he might end up. So I'd be one to watch. Chris Middleton opted out, and
yeah, I was kind of shocked by that one.
I wonder if that's maybe a team thing, like, you know, one of those playing, like, you're going to opt out and we'll sign you something a little more team friendly so we can get some more guys in here.
Right. Because I can't see him moving.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I can't see him actually moving along. Right? He just kind of seems fit for the Bucks system right now.
Well, yeah, and what do they do if he leaves? They need to replace that and that scoring of his. So, because there was, you know, they were in the Chris Paul running, it seemed like.
Right.
There's some rumors of maybe getting him in there for Jrue Holiday, which I didn't like that for them. You know, I'm a Jrue Holiday fan, but
yeah,
he seems like they need him in Milwaukee. He's a perfect fit there.
Oh yeah,
that defensive piece he gives them,
exactly.
You know, really, that's really helped them make that championship run. You know, he's not the most consistent offensive guy. He's gonna have those bad nights, but he's always up there defense, and so many guys call him the best defensive player in the league. Like. You know, when Marcus Smart won Defensive Player of the Year, you know, he deserved it, but a lot of guys were saying, like, no, that should be Jrue Holiday.
Yeah. And that's one thing, you know, even on a bad shooting night, Drew's going to give you 110%. So.
Yeah, and he's going to shut down. Like, yeah, the only guy I ever watched him struggle against really was the bigger guys. He can kind of, you know, LeBron right. can kind of out-muscle him, stuff like that.
If that's your worst thing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. You know. One of the guys that's in the argument for greatest player of all time. You can't shut him down? Oh, no. Like, how dare you? Yeah. But, yeah. That interesting situation to watch there in Milwaukee. See how they kind of retool. Of course, you know, reports came out that Giannis, you know, had a kind of a back injury. Like, almost basically broke his back during that Heat series. So, maybe things aren't as bad as they seemed after losing to the Heat.
All right.
But we'll see where they go. New era, no more Coach Bud.
Yeah.
But you figure, yeah, they're going to retool somehow.
Exactly.
Let's see what else they got here. Celtics. Oh, we talked about that three teamer. The Celtics getting KP. That's an interesting one. Gives them another.
But they needed another
big
point
dude
guard.
With shaky injury history. Yeah.
I didn't understand.
So yeah, where do they go?
I thought it made more sense for them personally to get to Tyrese Jones in that situation. I thought he'd been a perfect fit for in Boston. But.
Well, and they did need something, another big guy, because right. you can't run Al Horford out there for 30, 40 minutes a game anymore. You
know, how old is Al now?
Al was in college when we were in college, man.
The Florida teams that won the titles. So, yeah.
He was on those back-to-back. Title-winning Florida teams, man, with what's-his-face, Joakim Noah and all those dudes.
Joakim and all those guys, and all those guys are long gone.
Yeah, right? So props to him for staying around, but you figure they wanted, you know, but between him and between Horford and KP and who's their other big man? Robert Williams.
Yeah.
Those are three guys that can't really, they all might, hopefully they just get injured at different points in the year, so you at least have two of them.
KP, you know, when he came to Dallas for a while, I was excited. And then, you know, he always got hurt. And it was always around playoff time. So I was just so ready for him to move when he moved. But, yeah, I mean, when he's healthy, he's a heck of a player still. It's just a matter of big if he can stay healthy.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, he's a good unicorn in his talent. You know, like he's a big guy that can shoot, you know, and handle, and he can move. You know, he had a career year this year for Washington. So maybe, like you said, if he can stay healthy, that's big, big get for the Celtics. That's, you know, huge for them. Because that gives them, you know, kind of a different dynamic than Horford does.
Exactly.
And then also, like, floor spacing.
The Celtics did with their coaching. I mean, they brought in Sam Cassell. They brought in another top of a guy. I can't think of his name right now. Just to, you know, give Joe some more veteran guys around him there. I think that probably help out. And worst case scenario, you know, long term, if that didn't work out with Joe, you might have your next guy right there. You know, a sample.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
something like that. But I think, you know, just with how the Heat Celtics series ended, you know, things got better at the end. Outside that game seven, I mean, they really made a comeback. And I think, you know, Joe kind of showed, hey, you know, I'm a young Now that a lot of the playoff experience, but they adjusted and got better. So I think they're in a better spot than what people thought for, you know, toward the end of the Heat before they went on their two before they made it a series there.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see there. You know, of course, the big talk was Jaylen Brown might go somewhere. That doesn't seem like going to happen now, but no. It's, you know, off season. It's early in the off season, right. Still. Like we mentioned, no big Zion trade, no big like foundation shaking blockbuster really outside of, you know, CP3 and Beal moving. Right. Pelicans stood pat, drafted Jordan Hawkins from UConn. Your Mavs made a little trade. Back to 12 back there. Back to
12, still got our guy from Duke. Rim protector.
Rim protector, kind of, you know, one of the kind of the quote-unquote experts were kind of down on. But if that's what you need, you know, then you go get him and you hope that he can live up to potential.
Right. And hopefully that's...
I saw, you know, one mock I saw that it was like, you know, best case is that he's Tyson Chandler. And I'm like, yeah, that's not bad then.
That's not a bad situation at all because...
No, that's what you need.
Tyson helped us win the title. And
exactly,
You know, I think Derek could be a talented guy. I get, you know, long term, you know, everybody was so mad about the Mavericks sitting folks at the end, but you know, it seemed to work out well for us.
They got what they wanted. So we'll see what happens with their free agency and if Kyrie actually does come back there. Let's see, Alabama boys, we mentioned Brandon Miller going number two to Charlotte, which I do think is a good fit. That's what they need. I think he'll be able to score there. I think LaMelo can, you know, facilitate to him. I think that's a good situation for him there. He won't have, like, too much pressure on him right away, you know. And they got a lot of other talent there. You know, they just need to put it together.
Exactly. I mean, could be, you know, the – you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they're back in that hunt, at least for a play-in spot there with that team, if they stay healthy.
Yeah. Then you got Noah Clowney went 21st to Brooklyn. Also kind of filled a good need for them there. Another team with a lot of young talent there, so hopefully he'll be allowed to grow. He's a guy that you don't really expect to make much of an impact this year, his rookie year. Might even spend some time in the G League, but
right. But he just has so much upside and potential that you see that what he could be down the road for sure.
Yeah. Our guy Chuck Bediako didn't come back. You know, unfortunate for Alabama. Yeah. He ended up in San Antonio. Did not get drafted. Signed at San Antonio's undrafted free agent. Another guy you probably expect to a lot of G League time. But if you can learn under Greg Popovich, then hey, let's.
Yep. I mean, that's a good place for him to have gone there, and hopefully it works out for him. You know, I think.
Don't know if they have any big men in front of him. Maybe I could think of one. Maybe they got some French guy or something like that, right? But yeah, so anything from the offseason or the draft you want to touch on?
Not a whole lot. You know, it was one of those drafts. It was just. I don't know. You know, just didn't have a – I mean, it had some nice players, but not, I guess not a whole lot of star power, so not the most exciting draft, but maybe as far as that aspect. But, you know, very – I think some – it's just interesting just how many guys – I think the most interesting part is just how many guys who never really played college ball are getting drafted now, you know, from, like, the Atlanta League and the G League and you know, that just seems to be a much more common route, even more so, and continue to be so as we move further along with the people really not going to college anymore.
Yeah, and you would hope that sometime in the near future, the NBA does something about the one and done.
Just open it back up.
Open it back up or do something. I kind of like what baseball does, and you can get drafted out of high school and you can go play for the, you know, the team and the minors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Or if you choose to go to college and you have to stay 3 years, I think it is.
Just
do something like that. Maybe make it two for basketball. So I think that would be good. Cause you don't have these, you know, it was great to have Brandon Miller this year. It was amazing. Awesome. Yeah. You know, we love that as an Alabama fan, but also like, it does suck that now like all this roster turnover, and you combine that with the transfer portal. I mean, like in Alabama, we're looking at almost a brand new team this fall in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. Whereas if you get, you know, those guys, that's what used to make college ball so fun is, you'd have your star players that might leave after 1-2 years or something like that. But you'd have those guys that would stick around. And, you know, I mean, Dwayne Wade stuck around 4 years at Marquette, right?
Yeah.
Not a lot of hype on him in college.
Yeah, nowadays he definitely would have been out the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or if he had even,
told, hey, but, he could possibly go one in the first round. You know, he's definitely out the door. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, yeah, you look at guys like a Noah Clowney, you know, it's just the possibility, you know, he gets invited there to the green room or whatever. That's all it takes. So why not just, if these guys don't want to stick around, you know, let them go to high school, you know, or let them go straight from high school or the G League. That's a perfect path for those guys if they want to get paid while they're developing. Or if guys want to do the college thing, let them go, but just be like, all right, you just got to stay 2 years. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, and even now with the NIL, I mean, a lot of the guys like Noah Clowney, I'm sure he's going to get some NIL money, so it's not like they're like, oh, I'm not getting anything while I'm waiting in my year. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you look at a guy like Bronny, you know, not that he needs it, but he can, over there in USC, you know, he's going to be all kinds of NIL money. Man, you know, you can do that as opposed to, and you get, honestly, you get more exposure in college game than you do in the G League or going to play in Australia or Europe, you know. Right. You're going to get, especially if you have a spotlight, you know, you can spotlight major, in the NCAA tournament.
Program. If you're at a major program, you know, you're going to get on TV at least, but 10 times a year, national time. So, yeah.
Yeah. But all right, let's see. I think that's about it for NBA talk. Like I said, we covered the big stuff. Draft this week, like you mentioned, it was just kind of there was a three player draft, and then after that it kind of went, there was no big surprises other than Whitmore sliding, but that might not be a big deal at the end of the day. It's just about seeing what these young guys actually do, you know. Is Wembanyama the real deal? So we'll move on. Next on my list I have the other big news from a couple weeks since we've last talked was the SEC released its football schedule for 2024. They did say they're going to keeping the 8 games, no divisions though. They did say this is a 1 year thing before they figure out their permanent option. I guess I'll just start off with that. I think that's just silly, kind of stupid. Like, just give us whatever your permanent option is. Like, the fact that they had all these meetings and couldn't figure out what their permanent option is going to be, and then they're, you know, I guess their rivals, so to say, in the Big Ten, not only figured out what they're doing once they moved to 16 teams with USC and UCLA, but they put out a schedule option that everybody loves, that flex, that 9-team kind of flex schedule, as they call it, where some teams are going to have 3 permanent opponents, some might only have 1 or 2, but you're going to play every other team within that 2-year window every, you know, 2 years.
You would have thought all those smart minds and a couple of days and whether they're Destin or whatever they normally meet for those SEC meetings could have come up with a full thing there. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah. and it just seems dumb to not go to 9 games. You know, I think the reason people are, it seems the reason that they didn't want to go, that the argument for 8 is that they might lose a couple teams in bowl eligibility. But if that's true, then what you're telling me is that you're letting, like, the Kentuckys and Mississippi States dictate what you do. I mean, like, no offense to those programs, but they shouldn't dictate what you do in football. No. You know, like, the trade-off is that you get, you know, okay, so maybe, you know, a team like that, Kentucky or Arkansas, misses a bowl game, but then you get maybe on the top end, you get maybe an Alabama or – yeah, exactly. You get more teams in the playoffs with it moving to 12 teams. Next season, not this upcoming, but next, I mean, you can get, I mean, realistically, look at Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Texas, Oklahoma, you know, Florida, Tennessee, reemerging. Man, you can get like 6 teams in the playoff on a good year.
Yeah. Exactly. You're looking at quite a few possibilities to make the playoff.
But yeah, so I just, you know, get it together, guys. Like, just quit. Like, just go to the 9-team schedule. Do whatever you want. Either steal the Big Ten's model, because that is great. Or, you know, go to the, like we talked about a couple months ago, you know, the 3 permanent rivals, you know, figure those out and then just play.
Get the other ones around it and figure out how to play so some teams play, because it's a lot of teams that still have not played. Like, what is it, A&M still hasn't had Georgia come to Texas A&M yet or something like that? Or?
They still not, yeah. Georgia has still not come to College Station, and they were supposed to next year. That's
right.
Perfectly lead into that. They were supposed to next year under the original schedule, but now with the new schedule, they do not again. still no A&M in Georgia. They have only played once, period, since A&M joined the SEC. That's just ridiculous.
This is year 10.
Yeah, this is that. That's some like 1940s scheduling, you know, like some old school where like, oh, the conference didn't control the schedule and we just kind of agreed to play each other. It's like, okay, well, that's technically what the conference is supposed to be there for, guys, to handle that kind of administrative stuff. But we'll get to the highlights. We'll start with Bama, of course. Alabama gets Auburn, of course, the big one. And we'll start with the home games. They get the Iron Bowl at home, Georgia at home. That's, I think, the big highlight everyone saw.
Oh, yeah.
And then Missouri and South Carolina. And then on the road to Oklahoma, Tennessee, LSU, and Vandy. In addition, they're off out of conference. They visit Madison to play Wisconsin. So that's a tough schedule for Bama next year.
Yeah, really is. Three big road games. I mean, at Tennessee, at Norman, at Baton Rouge. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, in addition to going up early in the season, you go up to Wisconsin, who, you know, not the –
I mean, they're not
quite the powerhouse they used to be, but still, you never know. That's a tricky game.
Alabama coming into town, they're going to be ready. It's going to be
it's going to be a rocking venue. Yeah, when they play jump around, they might break those stands jumping, especially if they're in the game.
I mean, you look at Georgia, we know how. I mean, Georgia's still going to be Georgia next year unless something crazy were to happen. Auburn is this Iron Bowl, and you never know with Iron Bowl. You know, Missouri. Who knows? And then, of course, you know, I think South Carolina, you know, not too worried, but, you know, they're up and coming. They're still, you know, young and the Shane
coaching. The Shane Beamer era.
Yeah, Shane Beamer era. But we've seen so much improvement in, he's recruited well, brought in players, and has a lot of excitement and maybe hasn't been there since the Spurrier days.
Yeah, that South Carolina one would worry me a little more if that were on the road. I'd be like, ooh, that could be tricky.
That were in Columbia, but in Tuscaloosa, not too worried.
Yeah, but that is a tricky, you know, like you said, Norman for the first time since, that was 02?
That was our freshman
02,
year.
02, yeah. Yeah, the freshman year, that was that was a game that started the Lane Bearden for Heisman campaign. scored on the fake extra point field goal, whatever that was, recovered the onside kick, did everything before, you know, the those damn shuttle passes and then Tyler Watts throwing the ball backwards. Tough. Man, those were tough. Those were a good series, good home-and-home series with them back there in 02, 03, and just two tough losses for Alabama. They had them on the ropes both times.
Yeah, the 03 one where we have them and they hit the damn fake punt.
Oh, man. They talked about that. I watched the schedule reveal on SEC show and they were talking about that, and they had – I forget the guy who was on there, but he's a Sooner that played on those teams. And I think it was it Feinbaum maybe was talking, and he was like, Alabama should have won that game. And he goes, "What we did, though." And then they mentioned, he's like, yeah, that's when he fake punt, you know, from his own, like, 30-yard line. And
it was so loud. We were so loud.
It was, if I remember right, it was after we had scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I think we were within 3 or something like that.
Yeah,
and then got a couple sacks, got like a second, quick 3 and out, like a second and third down sack. Like, they were backed up big time. And then the punter just noticed something. If I remember the afterwards, I think Stoop said that they had noticed one of our gunners was cheating up trying to come block. And he told the punter, if you see it again, don't, you know, feel free to throw the fake. And that's exactly what happened. They got like, what, a 40-yard gain. That guy was just wide open, and they scored a couple of plays later and kind of sucked the air out of Bryant Denny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was rocking. But so that should be a good one. Other big highlights, we get the return of Texas and Texas A&M finally. Yeah. You know, whatever you think of those teams, those programs, that is a great rivalry game. Should have never went away. Just no. All this dumb administrative shit just hurts the fans and the players. But we get it back now. And I believe it's in College Station, too.
Yeah.
So that's maybe you wonder if that was like A&M being like, all right, well, if you let these guys in, we need the first home game, though. Oh, so, Texas and Arkansas, we get that rivalry back. That's another big one. We get Oklahoma, Missouri, a little going back to the Big 8 days.
Big 8 days, yeah.
Texas's highlights, their big ones, are Florida and Georgia. I didn't put down on my notes here where they go for those games. I do forget that. But
they're both going to Florida, Georgia, both coming to Austin, it looks like.
Oh, really? Okay. There you go. So those, you know, those are big brand name games right there. Man, Georgia, not an easy schedule. They got to go to Tuscaloosa and Austin the same year.
Woo. Yeah, have come to.
That'll be interesting to see how those games are spaced out too. You know, what games are early, what games are later.
Right.
In the
year. Exactly.
You know, we'll get that later down the line, but, let's see, Oklahoma, they play Alabama, as we mentioned, and they also get Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. So that's pretty good lineup there for the new guys.
Yeah, you get some tough one going to Auburn and LSU on the road in the first time. I mean, that's not that you can't handle just because they're, you know, good. But I don't think going to Baton Rouge and Auburn is much different than going to Iowa State or Kansas State. No disrespect to those guys, but, you know, just a completely different atmosphere.
No, yeah, and, you know, like you said, no disrespect at all, especially, you know, a program like Iowa State who kind of made a habit out of, you know, at least scaring teams, if not beating them. But, yeah, it's a whole different ball game when you got to go down to Death Valley, especially if they put that one in kind of prime time.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've never experienced, you know, that Jordan Hare magic, that voodoo there, then that's, you know, that's a whole new thing, you know. So yeah. Sooner fans, if any of y'all happen to listen to us, I hope you are prepared to lose a game in the most frustrating, excruciating, what the fuck way, because it will happen to you at least once. Yeah. Welcome to the SEC. You have to lose to an Auburn team that has no business beating you.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen because, like, a field goal snap bounces off your kicker's head or something and Auburn takes it back. Or, you know, you're going to just get scared to death and pull out a last minute drive. Like, you know, kind of the Iron Bowl last time it was in down there on the plains. Let's see. Yeah. So those are kind of the big highlights, you know, along with your usual kind of SEC rivalries, the big ones, nothing really big went away. Notable games missing, no Alabama and Mississippi State for the first time since 1943, I think, if I counted that right.
First time since World War II, and that was the only reason.
Yeah. 80 years, that's crazy. You know, that's why when we made the case for our permanent three rivals when we kind of did that schedule a few months ago. That's why I put State in there because, yeah, LSU's the big one, and that's the TV ratings, and that's the big money matchup, but State is, you know, it's the two closest campuses in the SEC, and those teams have been playing forever. I don't think Alabama's played any team more than Mississippi State. Also, there will be no Auburn LSU. That'll be a weird one to miss out on.
Yeah, because that's usually a heck of a game.
Yeah, and even, yeah, when those teams are both bad, that's some craziness pulling out or something, you know. LSU also, there will be no LSU Mississippi State. That's another long-standing kind of close border war.
Yep.
No Georgia South Carolina. I've mentioned earlier, still no A&M and Georgia in College Station. And no Alabama A&M. So the Jimbo Saban rivalry goes on hold for a year next year. I think I can see it in my notes here. I already mentioned the Big Ten. I do think the Big Ten has a great model. I think all conferences that go that big should decide to. They should pull from that. And then I think it's fairly even. There's no one team that stands out to me like, oh, damn, they got screwed, or like, oh, what the hell? Like, they got an easy skate.
Overall, just with what they – I thought Florida has a pretty tough schedule, not only more so maybe because of the out-of-conference as well, but that 2024 Florida Gators schedule with, out-of-conference, of course, they play Miami. We don't know what Miami will be. They play UCF. So that Florida Gators 24 out-of-conference schedule, in addition to their main conference, that's going to be one of the toughest schedules on paper, at least right now, I think, in America.
Yeah, real quick on that. So, yeah, they get Miami. It is in Gainesville. They get UCF in Gainesville, which, you know, that goes up and down on whether UCF is a legit good team or not. But they, when they play those in-state schools, they play those bigger schools, man, they get really hyped for
it. They get ready for those.
And the Gus Bus, you never know what weird stuff he's going to pull out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, of course, they got the Georgia game. Of course, they got Florida State. They got to go to Tallahassee for that one.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the rest of their SEC schedule, you know, they get Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, A&M, State, Tennessee, and Texas. Not easy. So, yeah,
there's not a gimme on this schedule.
There really isn't. There's not a Samford. That's their gimme game. Samford.
Yeah, but outside of Samford, that's a jeez. You're like, man. And we've seen
a
couple in a row. We've seen Mississippi State beat them. I mean, we've seen. There's not one where you're like, yeah, Florida definitely can win that. Thanks.
No, yeah, and see Georgia's SEC skate. That's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty. A little rough for Georgia, too. That Auburn, Florida State, Tennessee, Bama, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Texas. You know, you figure Georgia should run roughshod over, you know, like teams like State, Kentucky, maybe even Ole Miss. But, you know, Ole Miss is one of those unpredictable teams.
You never
know what the hell. Yeah. Any given day.
Yeah. But
I figure for the one and done schedule, they did pretty good. Like I said, after the initial reveal and looking at it, nothing jumped out to me. Like, what the hell? Like, how come they got off? You know, like.
Yeah. Everybody had some tough road games. Nobody really got
them. Yeah, everybody's got at least like one big road game and one big home game. So. Yeah. But like we said, hopefully, you know, okay, good job for this year, but just go to 9 games and figure it out.
Figure that out.
Should have already been done. Let's see. Let's see. We can go. That's pretty much it for the big stuff there. In my notes here, I got, you know, mentioned, let's see, Oklahoma won their third straight Women's College World Series. We kind of already talked about that.
So dominant.
It's so dominant, such a dynasty. They didn't lose all year, still. And they just don't get talked about, and they should.
It's because it's
softball's a big enough sport now. Yeah. Softball's a big enough sport now to where it's not like, you know, for you, as great as those like early Pat Summitt, Tennessee, and, you know, Geno, UConn women's hoops teams were, you could make an argument for back in the day, like there just weren't a lot of,
great
women's teams. Yeah.
Them.
But you can't make that argument now in that sport or in softball. You know, there's so many good programs in softball now that, the Sooners should be getting more love.
Because what they've done
is... it's insane. And I think I even... let me go here. I think I made a tweet about it on the Taken on Sports account here about just how good they have been over the past decade and some change here.
And outside that, they've won, five of the last 7 or something like that.
Let's see. Let me get it pulled up here. I know I've got it here. that definitely made it as a scrum. Oh yeah, there's one quick piece tidbit. You know, Grant Nelson from North Dakota State expected to transfer to Alabama, so that'd be a big addition for hoops.
Oh yeah, love it.
Here we go. Yeah, a tweet. Oklahoma softball's dominance not talked about nearly enough. They have 51 straight wins. They won their actually, I think that number even bumped up 52 or 3 now. They have now 3 titles. That makes 6 in 11 years. They also additionally lost in the finals in the championship series in 19 and 12. You can safely assume that they would have been in the mix in 20 had that year not got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
They've also won 11 straight Big 12 titles, and they additionally made the World Series in 14, 16, 17, and 18. That is insane dominance.
Like, out of all sports, like, no one's touching that, anything. Like,
yeah.
Complete domination. No. And like you said, yeah, I mean, it's a completely a sport that's evolved and has so much talent everywhere. You know, there's talented Pac-12 teams. We know how stacked the SEC is, and yet OU just continues to roll.
Yeah. Oh, and guess what? They come to the SEC next year too. So that just makes the SEC schedule that much tougher.
Just add to the SEC. And yeah. And that's another thing. Even they weren't as good this year, but usually Texas has a pretty good softball team too. So SEC softball is going to be something crazy.
Yeah, that is going to be tough. You know, that's historically it's them and the Pac-12 that have been the big conferences in softball, and I don't see that changing.
No.
Baseball wise, right now LSU took Game 1 of the championship series over Florida yesterday. Boys in Tuscaloosa, valiant effort against Wake Forest. They kind of got screwed by the umps in that first game, the Super Regional.
First game, we were
lost
right
a tight one.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then we just got housed.
And then Wake did what Wake does and just beat the crap out of them. Broke a record for home runs in a super regional game.
Every other pitch seemed to be going out.
Just cranking them out. Not much you can do there. And then Wake Forest, you know, lost to LSU. About the only team that really, I think, could have beat them. I think it was the only team that was number one besides Wake Forest this year. So, and then Alabama named Rob Vaughn from Maryland their new head coach, baseball manager. They did retain Jackson as an associate head coach and pitching coach. So I think that's good for continuity. I don't know much about Rob Vaughn except that he's back-to-back Big Ten Coach of the Year at Maryland.
Right.
And I never knew them to have a great program. So if you can make Maryland a good program, then that's good. Hey. So.
Yeah. But it's a whole different beast, though, because Big Ten does not take baseball seriously at all. Completely different beast in the SEC. But I guess the biggest thing, too, losing our freshman like that, Florida snatched them up out the portal. I was like, geez.
Yeah, the what's it, Cade or Caleb? Yeah. Or I forget. I know who you're talking about, but yeah, kind of a shocker to lose him. Unfortunately,
yeah. Freshman led in home runs and set records, and on to Florida, get richer in baseball.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a team that, like we said, is in the championship series right now. It is what it is. Oral Roberts made his little Cinderella run to the World Series, good for them. You know, there were what, 1, 2, 3 SEC teams in it. It's been a fun postseason to watch in baseball. It's been a lot of good games too, like a lot of good games in this College World Series.
Yeah, the College World Series for the most part has been pretty epic. A lot of great, a lot of future MLB stars have been in Omaha. There's a lot of epic pitching battles. Like the other night, that Wake Forest LSU went to the 11th and the walk-off in the 11th first runs of the game. You know, the LSU pitcher last night was 17 strikeouts. Gee.
Yeah, it's just insane. Their counterparts in the pros, they're chugging along. You know, notable things happen. You know, the Angels won 25-1 yesterday.
They were up 25-0 after like the fourth.
Yeah, like 23-0 after the fourth inning. You know, that was ridiculous. Cubs and Cardinals currently playing in London.
Yeah.
that Reds guy. What's it? De La Cruz, whatever.
He's going to be something special, I think.
He is going to be great. One of the youngest guys to hit for the cycle, what, like second youngest ever or something like that? Yeah. Then the Braves broke their 12-game winning streak. The Reds, yesterday.
Finally lost.
Now they're hot on their own part. They had 8 wins in a row before they lost in the Friday night when the guy got the cycle. Let's see. Aaron Judge has a torn toe ligament. They don't know when he'll be back. So that could, it's going to be interesting to see what the Yankees, the Rays still rolling along.
Good ball.
Yeah. We're getting closer to the All-Star. I think Otani and Acuna, the respective leading vote getters and their little stage thing they do now. So they are both starters. You still got, like the Orioles, they're still right there behind the Rays. They're still
hanging around.
Hanging around. The Rangers still leading the AL West. The AL Central still a demolition derby.
Crapshoot.
As is the NL Central. Yeah.
Those two are always the same. Those are the ones that are always wide open. At least 3 teams are in contention until the last week of the season. So, someone's right above right around 500 is the champion. Never runs away with the division.
Literally right now, the Twins are leading the AL Central, and they are 39-39. the NL Central is not, not. The Reds, with their big winning streak we mentioned, they are now 5 above 500 and have a 1.5 game lead over Milwaukee. Surprising there that the Cardinals are one in last place. They're 14 games under 500.
Yeah, the Cardinals are playing bad baseball, and that's one thing that that's a proud franchise. So that St. Louis fan base, they got to be what the heck's going on, especially as weak on paper as essential looks, you would think, well, how the hell are we 1400?
The Phillies got hot, so they've kind of turned it around from their slow start, so they're back above 500. The damage is kind of done there. They're still 10 games back from Atlanta in that division, although as we saw last year, Atlanta came back from 10.5 from about this point in the year. So never know, but Atlanta doesn't seem like a team that they're going to have a big slide. And they're doing a lot of this, and a couple of their aces are still hurt,
Atlanta's pretty serious, I'd say.
Ronald Acuna, I believe, now has 35 stolen bases. He's going to get 40 before the All-Star game.
Crazy.
People were talking about him being a 40-40 guy. He might, I think 16 homers, I think, is where he's at. So he's at least going to be a 30-50 guy. If not, he might steal about 60 bases this year. Definitely early MVP candidate there. The Diamondbacks. That is one crazy thing. We'll never see those days again, though. People stealing 180 bases in a season.
Crazy.
80s were a track meet.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, the Diamondbacks, a surprise out in the NL West, too. It's baseball time now. You got a couple of the Gold Cup going on.
Yep.
And let's soccer, the Women's World Cup coming up shortly. Anything else from the world of sports you want to touch on?
Let me think. No, I think we pretty much covered most everything.
The big PGA Live thing, did that happen? I guess, but I don't think either one of us watches a lot of golf.
Not a lot of golf, but I guess in the realm of news, as holy as the PGA tried to make it seem, we're the good guys and we're not going to get down with that dirty money. And after a year, wait a minute, we kind of need this.
That's the one thing with me. That whole act, and then telling guys like don't defect, stay for the sanctity of the game, and then they went and made this deal without telling the players on the tour. Yeah. That's the fucked up part.
Like, what?
Yeah, like a lot of those guys found out the same way we did, which was just through, you know, like a Twitter or whatever you get your news from, the breaking news. And I'm like, yeah, I'd be pissed off too if I turned down, you know, nine figures.
Because they told me
hundreds of millions of dollars. Because you're like, you know what? They're right. Like, we should do this for the sanctity of the tour. And then the tour is like, actually, we're going to merge with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that pretty much covers all the big stuff from since we've last talked to y'all. Just looking on new sites, see if there's anything that's kind of breaking. There usually is always one thing that happens right after we stop recording. Right. But no, nothing really going on there. So we'll get to it. Greg, what's been done up real good for you lately?
Done up for me really good. You know, I guess just last weekend with Father's Day, you know, enjoyed that. My daughter's been taking some summer school classes, so got her first high school classes out of the way. That's crazy. She's gonna be a freshman in high school.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is insane. How about you?
I guess same thing. You know, first Father's Day last week, it was cool. As my father-in-law joked, you know, we went over the Mississippi to my brother-in-law's house. It was his first Father's Day as well.
Nice.
So he, you know, he cooked out a little bit. You know, they got this nice new outdoor kitchen kind of set up. So he cooked out, and our father-in-law, when we got there, was kind of, at first he's like, you know, I thought it was weird that we're going over Blake's. Why not everybody just come over here? And then I had to remember, oh, wait, this isn't just my holiday anymore. Like, I got to share it with y'all. Damn it. So we're like, yep. And then it's stark contrast from my mother-in-law, who she was like, you know, my Father's Day gift was something for Mercer. You know, she's like, when they're this young, they get the gifts, you know, and it's not about you yet. So she kept me in line.
That was funny.
But yeah, so that's cool. So it was just fun. Yeah, it was nice, relaxing. Did a little cookout. So that's it. We will see you guys again in a couple weeks. Don't know. We'll figure out what we'll talk about. I might see if I can dig up some old stuff from Dateline, Alabama. Maybe dig up some really old takes for us. Compare, you know. Maybe we'll go in the vault and pick fun at our 20-some-year-old selves.
Yeah,
yikes.
Back at some of those and be like, what?
I do every now and again when we've moved, you know, we obviously in the house now, so we haven't moved in a couple years, thank God. But I'd always come across like some binder or something like that with all those old columns in it printed out, and like, oh man, what was I thinking?
Like, what
just
was
read, you read a couple of these takes and be like, what the hell? Like, dang, it's like I predicted who to win, you know, like
it was hot takes before hot takes for a thing.
Exactly, yeah, the spiciest, just So, yeah, we'll figure out something fun to talk about since it's just going to be baseball.
Right.
Or maybe something, you know, like I said, usually after we stop recording, maybe some big trade will happen in the NBA or something.
The NBA will have something for us.
yeah. Something no doubt will happen. But thanks, y'all, for listening. We will see you in a couple of weeks. And as always, keep it done up real good yourselves out there. Gray, take it easy, buddy.
Yep, you as well.
Thank you once again for listening to Taking on Sports here on the Alabama Take family of podcasts. We do hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, give us a rating, a like, a subscription, whatever it is on your chosen platform of podcast. And tell a friend about it. Tell someone you think would enjoy it. Tell a rich benefactor to invest in us and let us get paid for all this cool stuff. Also, check out all our other great podcasts like Taking It Down, our TV podcast on Tuesdays, The Alabama Slam, our pro wrestling podcast on Fridays, and check out other great intermittent podcasts like Check Your Shelf, This Song Sucks, We Are a Star War, and be on the lookout for new and exciting podcasts yet to come. Also, be sure to go to thealabamatake.com and check out our great writings and musings from our band of ne'er-do-wells and misfits here in the great state of Alabama. Keep it done up real good out there, folks.